I'd like to say the folks at Richlands are in revival, Brother Bill Addis, and they called and asked the young folks and all of us to come Friday night, be in service with them. So I'd like to invite the whole church just to go over, and the young folks will get in there, maybe get anointed to sing and be a blessing to other folks like they are to us. And I think they were invited. They got a eating after the service, so take you some money over there and go out and eat, buy their food. That's the way us homeless folks survive, ain't we? Buy each other's food and stuff. And take you a good appetite over there, and let's go have church with them. If the Lord will tarry and we're all alive and well, can make it, let's go over and be with them. Praise God. Appreciate the pledges we got. We made one plea for a pledge. We got right at $3,000. That's halfway. And the van that we're looking at is sitting out here. It's the one we're thinking about purchasing. One that's not got a whole lot of miles on, something we can still use, and the price is down there where we could afford. If you'd like to look at it, it's sitting out on the side of the church here where we park. And if you want to look at it tonight, you can go out there and look it over and pray about it. And we haven't purchased nothing yet. We're going to give everybody a chance to. We made a 90-day pledge, and everybody's showed an interest in it. If you want to help, you still can. You just mention it. A lot of people sometimes don't want their name mentioned. I understand. We won't do it like that. It's really the money we're after anyway. So if you want to pledge, you just go ahead, and we'll pay that off in 90 days if it's for us to buy it, and we can use it. The Lord's coming, but I think we ought to keep on doing it. If we get this van to go to camp meeting, and if we don't get there, I'd be all right. Do you hear me? If the Lord comes and we don't get to camp meeting, that'll be all right. Won't it? So don't be left behind. You'll be left to pay for that van. So get ready and go with us. Praise God. Well, St. John chapter 16. I don't know if I can preach tonight. Isn't it something? I've been preaching for 20 some years, and I still don't know if I can or not. Whew. If you judge it by how many people's getting saved, I think I've just about quit. Brother Addis was preaching the other night, Brother Robert, and he said, "Brother Mike, if I was you, I'd have done fired me." He said, "I preached 2 weeks and nobody got saved." It shook me up just to hear him say that. I thought, man. Of course, he's preaching great. And I know the gospel's for the perfecting of the saints also, but boy, I'd like to see some more people saved. Wouldn't you? Yeah, I mean, really get it. Like Brother Scotty over here. Get something to make you want to keep going back. You want to live for God. See some tears in his eyes. See a good spirit on him. Well, isn't that great? I'm not into politics. I can't convince folks, just talk and be a show and get influence folks to come. I can't do it hardly. I can't do it at all. But I like to see somebody get saved. And I know how to have church, don't you? God's helped me to know how to have church. We can have church. If folks are interested in having church, we can do that, can't we? Huh? I want to preach tonight. It may not touch you, but I'm just going to have to preach the verse that's on my heart tonight. The Bible said it will go up. Let's read verse 32. Behold, John 16:32, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father's with me." I'm going to preach tonight on that verse. I don't really have a title, but I thought this week, these thoughts were running through my mind. You know, Jesus took on flesh, but he was still the anointed Christ. He was divine. But yet, the earthly clay that he took on, as he began to tell the disciples, he said, the critical hour is here. And you know, we're in a critical hour. And I've preached it for a year, and you know, building up to the millennium. And there's things happening, church, that has troubled me and you too. The end time, when Jesus was crucified, he told the devil, he said, "Thine hour has come and the power of darkness." And what that meant was Christ got to the point where all his disciples, his good friends, forsook him. And he told them, he said, "You're going to leave me, and you're going to leave me alone." And he said, and I wanted to preach tonight on that part. I want to preach on both parts of this verse. I want to preach where Jesus said, "Thou shalt leave me alone." And then I want to preach on, "Yet I'm not alone." Now that is a mystery. And that is a miracle. And that is, church, the message we need in this hour. You know, how many agree with me tonight that being alone is a very, very dark place to be? Huh? You ever been there? It's a sad to be. And how many has ever heard the saying, I felt alone in a room full of people? And, you know, we're living in a world that is detaching itself from one another. They're losing their responsibility, their accountability. Folks, I want to preach to you a little while. There is a terrible trial in loneliness and being alone. And the Son of God, he said, you know, the time's coming when you're going to leave me. Do you think they left him because Jesus was not a good person to be around? They left him because of the hour and the fear and the lack of faith they had. And they left him all alone. You know, I don't know if I can help you. I want to. There may be somebody in this house tonight that needs this little sermon I'm about to preach, if the Lord will help me preach it. Really, we need to look at the hour that we live in and see the danger of isolation, of being forsaken, left alone. Amen? You know, in the very beginning, I mentioned this scripture Sunday, I believe. In the very beginning, the Bible said God made man. Now don't think that God, in all of his wisdom, did not know what he was doing. He knew absolutely what he was doing. He made man, and the Bible said that he looked at man. Y'all help me preach a little if you can. But he looked at man, and God said, and when God says something, I count it as just being the truth. And God looked upon man, and the Bible said, God looked upon man. What did it say? Do I need to turn over and read it? God looked upon man and what? Let me see if I can find it real quick here. He looked upon man in his loneliness, and he said, this isn't good. Amen. Come on now, church. I'll get to you in a minute if the Lord will help me. He looked upon man in his loneliness and he said, this is not good that a man should be alone. Now I'm not saying, you know, I just want you to get, hey man, here I am. Don't think I'm promoting everybody to go running out and getting married, you know. But I want you to look. There is a spiritual insight on this idleness. Man was on the earth. He had the animals were there. The beautiful garden was there. But man needed companionship. Amen. And God said, I'll put a deep sleep upon him, and I'll take a bone out of Adam, and I'll just make somebody to be a friend to him. I want to tell you something right now. There's been a lot of fussing and fighting go on between a man and a woman on this earth. And do you know why that has been? It's because, like little Sarah said today, when I was preaching, little Sarah Talbert, she's something else. And she's sitting over here today, and it's quieter than a mouse in here. And I said, who gives people permission to do such and such? And she said, the devil does. Well, I'm going to tell you, the devil takes a thing that God says is so vital, and he turned that thing upside down. Come on now. But in the beginning, praise God, I hope I can preach. Boy, I'm way out here in left field, and I need to be at home plate, I believe. But he looked upon man, and you say, this is not, amen, but you know it's true. Amen. God looked upon man in his loneliness and said, this is not good. And so he made somebody, the Bible said, to be a helpmate for him. Amen. He didn't take, and you know the story, and I'm not going to preach on that tonight. Amen. But you know, amen, Adam was joined with his wife, and they became twain one flesh, a companionship. How many of us know tonight that this world, this old cold-hearted, independent, isolated world, amen, help me preach a little bit, has forgotten this principle that we need one another. Amen? Even in the church world, can't you feel a coldness that's grown between church folk? And I'm not going to leave this just yet, but I'm preaching on the danger and the disaster in this hour of being alone. And do you know that is a terrible trial? And do you know when the devil wants to destroy somebody? Do you know what he gets them to thinking in their mind? He gets them to thinking, nobody loves me. Nobody cares. Do you know what he wants when he gets ready to call somebody to leave church? Amen. And get out of church. They don't care about me down there. Amen. Somebody say amen. But I want to tell you, that is a trick of the devil. If there's anything we need to realize in this hour, there is a great danger in being isolated. Amen. And Sister Marilyn, I know as I thought of these scriptures, I thought there's times that we go through trials and it looks like we don't have anybody. Amen. Somebody say amen. Praise God. Have you ever went through a trial? Amen. And you said, if just somebody knew what I was going through. Now, if you've been through that, I want you just to nod your head or something. Because I've been through that and I felt weak and like a wimp, you know, and like I just wasn't strong. And I've said many times, if I just had somebody that I could talk this over with. Now, a lot of times, most of the time, amen, it's not to be talked about. It's just that craving, that desire, Brother Robert, if I could just put this burden, some of this load on somebody else. Well, amen. Move on over. Sister Patty, you sing that song. If you move over just a little bit, I'll help you share that load. Amen. Can I tell you, the Bible said to bear, amen, one another's burdens. That verse, there's two verses, Brother Zay. It said, let every man bear his own burden.
word. And then in the very next verse, it said, let us bear one another's burden. Do you understand what that means? We can't take the burden totally away from one another, but we can bear one another's burden. Amen. Somebody say amen. Oh, what a trial it was for the Son of God. Amen. To be forsaken. I want to encourage you today. Amen. Before I get to my last part of my message, I want to encourage you. Amen. We don't need to get isolated. The devil has isolated some of us here tonight. And here's what he's going to do. Amen. He's going to get you to lag behind the pack. Amen. Because he knows if the devil can come upon us, Brother Darrell, and somebody's got weak, and somebody is feeble in the knees, and somebody's got too weak to keep up. Come on now. I know we said it. Amen. Get in, get out, or get run over. We've all said that. But we don't mean that exactly like that, do we? Come on now. Church, y'all helping me? Amen. There is a separating. There's a fraction. Amen. Of this world. Amen. Nobody wants anybody else to know. But you know what the Bible said? The Bible said it like this. Confess your faults one to another. Amen. We are in a fault-finding generation. Amen. But you know the Bible said, confess your faults one to another. How many of you tonight, if you had a weakness, amen, could go to a brother and say, brother, amen, I've got this problem. But do you know what our problem is? We won't even come to the altar and pray when the service sermon goes because we think somebody will think that we're sinners. Come on now, church. Are you helping me preach? Amen. But you see, we can't afford to carry it alone. Amen. We have got to have. That's why he looked upon man. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we need each other. Husband and wife, amen. Your home, this is the way God intended it to be. Brother Kenny, he intended for you. I'll just use you for an example. He intended for you and Sister Marilyn to be so equally yoked and so tight in the yoke that your children can't find, amen, a wedge between you. Come on now. And together, somebody say amen. You say, well, you have to agree on everything. Why, you know better than that. Amen. But we cannot have division. Amen. We must have a unity. Amen. And we need one another. Come on now. Amen. Husbands, you need your wives. And I could tell you a million reasons you need her. But wives, you need your husband. I wish somebody would help this preacher. Amen. And we cannot be the lone ranger. Amen. And ride into victory in the church house. Somebody say amen. You say, but my home's not like that. Well, it's a tragedy. That's what it is. When we can't go together and we can't walk together and we cannot bind. Amen. Then we lose the strength of the home. We need to realize we need. You see, it's that spirit of isolation is the spirit of the devil. You hear me? Elijah, he'd won some great victories for God. He prayed and it rained and prayed and it rained not. He cursed. He told Ahab what was going to happen to him, and it happened just like he said. But you know, Jezebel, he killed all them prophets of Baal, and Jezebel got so mad, and she was so full of the devil, that she said, Elijah will be just like these prophets by this time tomorrow. It terrified Elijah. Listen to me now. Are y'all going to help me preach a little bit? It terrified. Do you know we're in warfare tonight? Do you know we're in warfare? Do you know I have read, Brother Zane, of men that were captured and put in a prison war camp? Now, that is some of the most terrifying reading that I've ever read. They take men, and I read just an account the other day. They took this man, and they put him, Brother Kenny. You know what they do if they really want to break your morale down? They put you by yourself. But do you know, and how many has ever read this? I've read this dozens of times, Brother Mike. You ever read Tortured for Christ? Richard Wurmbrand? Boy, I read that one winter. I think I read it through and through. Maybe more than one time that winter. It stirred me so much. But you know what they did, Brother Robert? When they put old Richard in there, they put him by himself. Because that would break down. You see, if you're with somebody else, you can get take courage. How many of you husbands and wives, and I'm not preaching just on husbands and wives, the children are part of the home life too. And they have we need a close family and a close church family. You see, we are in the Holocaust of the spiritual age. You hear what I'm saying? Amen. The church is being tried. Only those things which cannot be shaken. We're having a shaking going on. The devil's trying to put us each one in solitary confinement. Huh? Whatever reason that people are isolated and walls of separation are coming between us. But you know what Richard and them would do? They got in there. I read just the other day, a man in the prisoner of war, and a man, they just started tapping on the wall. And it was so intent, you think this is nearly impossible. With me, Sister Wilma, it would have been impossible. But that man got in there, and he had drilled a little hole. One man had drilled a little hole through the cell wall. And so he could push little notes with a little wire. You couldn't hardly even see it unless you were just really looking for it. He pushed little notes through that wall. And he taught that new prisoner the code. And so every day they'd hold Bible. Now listen, they would hold Bible classes in code. Do you know why they went to all the trouble, amen, to communicate with one another? Is because it is vital, amen. If we're left to ourselves, we will get discouraged, amen. Come on now, church, amen. We're in the Holocaust of the last days. We have to develop some survival tactics, and this may be all you're doing, husband and wife, but a little communication. Huh? You know what them prisoners of war said? They were so intent on survival that when they woke up in the morning, the thing they looked forward to more than anything else, more than the food through the slab, more than even they would take them out sometimes and let them walk one at a time, wouldn't let them go out when nobody else was in the yard. They would take them out solitarily, walk them around. They knew why. Because they knew if they got together, amen, that two was better than one. Are you helping me preach? I'm preaching on alone tonight. Are you here? Listen. Listen. Oh, God. Oh, God, I hear you talking to me. Amen. If you're here tonight, oh, you may have come with a companion. You may have come with children on the pew. You may have come and you greeted your brother as you come in. But you've sat down here tonight and the devil has you solitarily confined. And you haven't heard an encouraging word. Oh, you say, I come to church all the time. I know you do. But there's no sitting in this church tonight that haven't been getting anything out of the service hardly at all. And it's because they're in an isolated place. Amen. And it's a dangerous place. You know what Ecclesiastes said? Two are better than one. Amen. For if one fall down, he has another to lift him up. How many of you think we'll make it to heaven without falling down? Did you hear that response? Did you hear that, Brother Scotty, the response of that crowd when I said, how many are going to get to heaven without falling? Did you hear all of these old saints say, no way? You know why? Amen, because we are in a warfare and we're going to get wounded and we're going to fall down. But here's the important thing. Amen, we're not alone in this war. We don't have to be feared of being left behind. Amen, on the battlefield. Somebody help this preacher preach tonight. We don't have to worry about being left alone on this battlefield and dying. Amen, of exposure. Somebody say amen. I'm telling you, church, God, the Bible Bible said, oh, how sweet and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. You know why? Amen. God hates discord and he hates gossip and he hates talebearing because they separate friends. And brother and sister, I don't have much money tonight, but I'm rich nonetheless because I've got friends like you. Amen. Somebody say amen. How valuable is it tonight, amen, not to be alone. We may be in the prison camp. We may be a prisoner of war. We may be bound by the robber, but oh, we can hear somebody scratch him on the next cell over and say, hang in there, friend. Amen. You can make it. Somebody say amen. Oh, we, amen, need not be alone in this hour. Amen. I wish you'd help me preach a little while. Elijah got so fearful, he told his, notice this. He fled from Jezebel. He had a servant with him, but he left his servant, separated himself from him, and he went into a cave. And God said, Elijah, why are you here? Now, I'm not jumping on Elijah, because I've been in that same cave many times. God's asking you, why are you up here in this cave alone? And Elijah said, I've been zealous for your name. I've preached and I've done and spoke the words you told me. And he said, now, even right now, I alone am standing in your name. And God has had pity on him. Poor old Elijah. Did you not know Elijah? And you know what? I believe Brother Mike, he said this to encourage Elijah. It worked because Elijah came gliding down off of that mountain and anointing Jehu. Are y'all helping me preach? He said, hey man, I have 7,000 people reserved to me that have never bowed their knee to Baal. You know what? God was telling Elijah, you're not in this by yourself. Somebody help me preach a little bit tonight. You're not in this by yourself. You know that's why the Bible said in the book of Malachi, when they call the proud happy, and when they call evil good, the Bible said those people of the Lord, they spake often one to another. Are you hearing me? And that's what the Bible said for us to do. To speak to one another in psalms and hymns and songs. And that's why we come. That's why tonight. Oh, God, help this preacher tonight. That's why we came tonight. And I was brokenhearted when I got here. Amen. Brokenhearted for my brother in Kentucky. Amen. That put his little old girl. And I don't mean to dwell. I can't hardly talk about it. They put her in the bath, 5 years old. And when they went to check on her, she was dead in the water. 8 inches of water. Little 5-year-old girl, a twin sister to another little girl in the family, went on. The preacher is devastated. His wife is devastated. You can imagine where they'd be. My heart is broke for them. Had I come tonight and we began to sing in a land where we'll never grow old. And I got a little hope. Oh, somebody say amen. How many times, amen, Sister Marilyn, have you came, amen, fighting the battle of your life, and some good brother get up and sing a song right at you, amen, or some sister testify and build your faith. Oh, somebody say amen. I'm telling you, you're not in this by yourself. If you were alone, the Bible said, woe unto him who is alone when he falleth, for he has nobody, amen, to pick him up. And I tell you, we need to be on guard that we don't let our ideas and let our own ways separate us from the very people of God and from the presence of God. Amen. Cain said, my punishment is more than I can bear. Why? because God said, get on out away from my spirit. And he left the spirit in the presence of God. Amen. Could I tell you, we're in a critical holocaust of an hour. You're isolated. You're drifted away. You've divided yourself from the body. Amen. It's time that we were gathered back together. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. Whether it's in your household or in the church house or in the community, it's time we quit being suspicious and looking across the fence and start taking down the fence. Somebody say amen. Ronald Reagan was president. One of the greatest things he felt like in his time was when they took those walls of Berlin down. Amen. And took it apart. Amen. And many people took pieces, amen, of that wall and set it in their houses for monuments of when the wall fell down in Germany. That used to be East and West Berlin, or now just Berlin, or whatever they named it. Amen. Can I tell you, it would behoove everyone of us, if we have a wall built up that are separating us from fellowship, if we have the means and power, we ought to take it down. Amen. And if it's out of our power to take it down, we ought to bore us a little hole in it and punch us a little wire through and put us a little note on the end and say, I love you and God loves you too. Or somebody say amen. It may be drastic means. Amen. But somebody scratch out some code. Amen. I tell you, when you get desperate enough, amen, then you're going to be able to enjoy one another's company. Jesus said, the time is coming when all shall forsake me, and I'll be alone. But then he said, but I'm not alone. Now you figure that one out. I'm alone. You know how you say you're alone in a crowd of people? Well, this is the reverse of that. You got plenty of company with nobody around. Come on now. Am I making any sense to you tonight? Praise God. The Bible said, amen, God said, I am a very present help in time of trouble. God, you see us. What did he say? Amen. The Apostle Paul had a way of saying it. He said, at my first word, all men forsook me, but the Lord stood by. Somebody say amen tonight. I hate to keep involving you in this message, but I'd sure like to see you get something out of it. Amen. He said, at my first word, all men forsook me, but the Lord stood by me. Amen. If you'd have looked at the naked eye, you'd have said old Paul standing by himself this time. But he had a crowd around him. Come on now. Amen. He had the power of God and the presence of the holy angels and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Could I tell you, Jesus said, I will go with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. You know, that's a wonderful promise. Do you know what that tells me, Brother Darrell? It tells me that if I'll serve God, there'll never be a time when I'm alone. Amen. Because the presence of God, amen, is going to be there. Jesus Christ said, I'm going to be there. Amen. The Holy Ghost abideth with us. Amen. It's a fearful thing to be alone. Amen. But Jesus said, I'm alone in one sense, but I'm not alone. Amen. Ultimately, for I've got God with me. Somebody say amen. We've got him with us tonight, church. I know I want you to believe that tonight, because there's some here. The Bible said, when mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Huh? Where's he at? Lonely trials. We go through them. Probably this whole church is in it right now. But I want you to know this. Them three Hebrew boys were not alone in that furnace. That old king looked in there and he said, one, two, three, four. When? One, 1, 2, 3, 4. Did we not cast 3 men into the furnace? But I see a 4th man. Ooh. If I could title this, I might title it "The 4th Man in the Fire." You're not alone, friend. You say, "I'm in a fiery trial of my life." You're not alone, though. Amen. You know why? Amen. The Bible, the psalmist said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." For why? Because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Amen. Oh, I don't understand it, but I know there's a great desire. Amen. There ain't one of us in this building tonight that enjoys that lonely, amen, feeling. Many elder folks, listen to me. Many elder folks, they die. They don't die of heart disease. They don't die of leukemia. Many of them die for the sheer fact that they're just alone in this world. There's no reason to live. There's nobody to cook for. Amen. There's nobody to cook for them. There's nobody to share, amen, the holidays with. There's nobody to share the sunrise and the sunset. Amen. So after a while, amen, they get the feeling, what is the use of being in this world with nobody around and nobody to involve with? Are you hearing me preach? Amen. That's a sad way to be. Amen. But can I tell you, amen, if everybody forsakes you, amen, God said, I never will. And if He's there, friend, amen, then you've got the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and all of heaven. Somebody say amen. Help me preach the truth to you tonight. Amen. Jesus said, I'm alone, but I'm not alone, for the Father is with me. Amen. Help me preach a little more. I wish from the earthly side that you didn't ever have to suffer. But you will. I wish it that there was never a time I could say that you never felt alone. But I know better. Several of you in this house right now, you've been through such things lately. And you've said to yourself, nobody understands this. And you know, that is a fearful thing to think nobody knows, nobody cares, nobody understands. But He does know. After 400 years of being in bondage, God told Moses, He said, I heard their cry. I saw their affliction. I know their sorrow. I'm very aware. All of my senses. You know what that told me, Brother Zane? If He heard their cry and they saw and He knew, He had to be there. Huh? He's there. He's there. I want to ask you something. How many of you thought you were all alone in a trial a few times? And then you looked around and saw footprints in the sand. Huh? Somebody help me preach a little. I want to know how many. Preaching revival years ago, and I've told it. I'll tell it again. Years and years and years ago, I wasn't pastoring, just preaching around. Through a serious trial. I thought I'd die with it. Thought it'd kill me before sun up. I was preaching revival. So I went on to church that night. And you know, it's just something personal that I couldn't share with nobody. And I went to church that night. Somebody come to the church. We'd been having revival, and the church was pretty well full. But tonight, there's a little different crowd. There's different people there. And there was a man I never met in the service that night. And he was back there looking and searching, asking questions. I see him pointed toward me, and the man nodded his head, and here he comes. He said, I need to tell you something, preacher, before you get out of here tonight. He said, I didn't know you from Adam. He said, I just found out today who you were and where you was at.
and said, I knew God was in this, so I thought I'd come tell you. He said, I don't know what you've been going through with, preacher. But he said, last night, he told me what time. He said, man, my wife was already asleep in the bed. And said, I didn't know you from Adam, and she didn't know you. And he said, and he told me the right, the exact time when he told me, Brother Mike, I just went numb nearly all over. He said, my wife woke me up in the middle of the night and said, honey, do you know anybody by the name of Randy Webb? He said, I can't recall anybody. So, well, the Lord just spoke that name to me as in my sleep as clear as if he was is standing right here by my bed. And he told me to get up and pray for that man. Huh? Well, I just fell apart. He said, I don't know what you're going through, preacher. I don't need to know. But I just come to tell you. Said, we got up this day and said, the reason we're here, so we got up and heard it on the radio. And my wife said, well, that's God. That's that man. And said, so I just packed up and come over here to tell you that God knows what you're going through. And he woke us up and told us. And we've been praying for you all day. You believe that? I don't matter. I happen to know them people. I never was acquainted with them after that, Brother Robert. Not really personal. But I happen to know they both deceased. But before they left, they proved to an old preacher that God sees and he knows and he cares. Brother Kenny sings that song, Does he care? And he said, the chorus says, I know he cares. I know he cares. I want you to know tonight, that was my reason for preaching. You feel alone in your trial. But you're not alone. Your husband may forsake you. Your wife may. God forbid. But even if they do, your children walk off and leave you. You're not alone. The one that really matters said he never would. When everybody walks out, he walks in. Oh, hallelujah. Do you love him tonight? Do you love him because he's a faithful friend? There's a fourth man likened to the Son of God. And if it's Jesus, then everything's going to be all right. I was here, I was here when Brother Gene Huff preached homecoming here years and years ago. I come one night and he preached about comfort. How many remembers that message? Anybody? You might remember him preaching on comfort. I remember him. And he told a story about a man that was a Christian man that was in World War II and was captured by the Japanese. He met the man personally and heard the testimony sound. And he told about how they tortured him, trying to get him to admit that he was an undercover spy. But it wasn't true, because he wouldn't admit it. He said they laid him on a table and poured hot tea down his nostrils to drown him unconscious. And when he went unconscious, they jumped up on his chest and pushed the water out, the tea out of his nostrils. He'd gain his consciousness, and they'd drown him again and back again. They beat him so bad with bamboo reeds that when he went by the glass on his way back to his cell where they tied him up every night, he said he did not even recognize his own countenance in the glass. Pulled his fingernails off. Put bamboo reeds underneath him. Tortured him every way possible. And then they would take him back. They'd beat him with them bamboo reeds, and then they'd take him back in his cell, and they'd hang him up simply because he would not lie. And they hung him in that room, and they would hang him after their beating. They'd make sure they hung him where he could not rub his own wounds. And he hung there. And he was almost to the point of snapping. One night, them guards took him back, hung him back on the wall after a beating. They walked, and he listened to their footsteps as they walked back down the hall. But this night, something was different. After their steps died out, he heard other footsteps coming up the hall. And he thought, what in the world? He, a fear gripped him at first. And then he said, as the closer the steps got, a peace came over him. He said, those footsteps, how many remembers this story now? Anybody? And he said, as he came to the door of his cell, those footsteps stopped, Brother Arthur. And then he heard him walk through the door without opening it. And he said he felt in his heart that it was none other than the Son of God Himself. And he said this person walked over to where he was hanging and massaged his back and rubbed his wounds. And he knew it was the Lord. And he said this to the Lord. He said, Lord, if you'll come back tomorrow night, I'll gladly go through this again. Are you having a hard time going through your trial? Would it make it better for you if he went with you? Huh? He's right there. Feel after him. I grew up on the mountain. You know, just the country boys and me and my brother piled up together in the old feather bed. And we'd fight all the time. He'd whoop me all the time. But when a storm came up in the middle of the night, I reached over Brother Scott and see if that old mean brother of mine